Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 9 o'clock here on this birthday edition of Overtime. We're having a party tonight here on 106.7 The Fan. The youngest in charge, taking 28 years of age. We got a little top behind the glass during doing his like fourth or fifth show of the day. It has been a wild Friday afternoon here at Odyssey DC. Ben, welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. You just woke me up. I've never heard you open the show like that.
Never. That's not how we do things here on Overtime. But
I was going to troll you. I really thought about trolling you all day, how I was going to like cut your music before that came on. I was going to start playing Happy Birthday. But then you were like, I'm all secretive about it. I don't want.
So I did say that earlier that I wasn't.
And then you're like, it's a birthday edition of what?
I'm feeling different. When you get a couple hours to pass, your mindset changes on some things. We're going to get to a lot here over the next several hours. We'll take you up to 9 o'clock if you're out there driving around, getting ready for some Maryland State High School football playoffs. Good luck to you and yours. I hope that everybody's able to stay healthy. And I hope that nobody cheats, because I know that's been a thing that's gone on over the past several years, specifically in the public school ranks when it comes to high school football. But I don't have the slate in front of me. I'll talk about a couple of schools here before we wrap up the program here tonight. But obviously, a lot to get to. I'm doing double duty today as well. I was sitting in for Chris Russell over on the Team 980 as he is in Madrid, Spain, getting ready for Commanders and Dolphins coming up on Sunday. And I talked about this game earlier today, and Ben, you know how I get. The closer we get to game time, my emotions begin to switch a little bit. People call it flip-flopping. I just call it finding new information, having different takes, having different opinions. I genuinely don't know how. And I was listening to the tail end of G&D. Grant thinks they're going to be able to run the football. Good luck. The Bears had one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. We couldn't run it. The Cowboys had one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. We couldn't run it. So this idea that we're just all of a sudden going to be able to run the football against Miami, I think it's fool's gold. I think it's wishful thinking.
We don't even run the ball that much, period.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting. We took a lot of calls on this yesterday over on the Team 980, putting offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury under the microscope and grading the job that he's done here in his second year as the OC here in the nation's capital. And I will say this, and we'll let you hear from Cliff as we roll throughout the program here tonight. I will say this about Cliff Kingsbury. First and foremost, I know there's been a lot of discourse about, well, do you want him back as the offensive coordinator next year for your Washington Commanders? And my answer to that question is yes. I do want Cliff Kingsbury back, but I do want this Washington Commanders offense to undergo a little bit of a personality change, right? My OG, the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, likes to refer to Cliff Kingsbury as the artist formerly known as. Cliff Kingsbury, and that's Doc's way of saying he gets too cute. And I think I have to totally agree here. I will say this, right? We're going to get your grade here, too, in a second, Ben, and you all can call us, of course, at 1-800-636-1067. If you had to give Cliff Kingsbury a grade for the way that he has coached the offense this year through 10 weeks of play, what would it be? Now, here's the caveat to that grade. I think if you were to ask any offensive coordinator in the National Football League, if I get to take away your starting quarterback, if I get to take away your top three wide receivers, how much success ultimately would you have? And I think that's where Cliff, for me, gets the benefit of the doubt. But here's what I will say. To me, it's even more alarming. It's even more jarring, the fact that they are not more committed to running the football when you think about the attrition that they've dealt with at wide receiver. And all the numbers will tell you that, yeah, they're still a good rushing offense. Well, right now, through 10 weeks of play, Washington is running it at the fifth highest rate in the NFL. Now, I know Marcus and Jaden, their scrambles are, you know, accounted for in that total. I say it all the time, man. Ben, I don't know if you've heard me drop this nugget before, this line. I always say it. Running the football, it's not something you pick up as a hobby, right? Like some people can pick up, I decided to pick up Cake's Karate. And that's how I ended up meeting your mom. It's a crazy thing.
That's right.
Some people pick up basketball and you want to, you know, be a free throw shooter. You want to shoot hoops. You want to have fun. Running the football is a lifestyle choice. It's not something you just hop out of bed and do. I don't know if that's genuinely in Cliff's DNA. And I think all the injuries that they dealt with at wide receiver, for them not to lean in to more of the heavy personnel, going 12 and 13, getting under center a little bit more, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and it's a big reason why the grade I'm going to give him is a C for the job that he's done here in year two as the offensive coordinator. I think his inability to adjust to the circumstances around him really colors the picture of how I view him in the job that he's done this year. I asked Anthony this the other day, Ben, and I'll put you to the test here. If I had to ask you to compliment Cliff Kingsbury and give me a strength of his offense, what would it be?
A strength of Cliff Kingsbury's offense?
Yeah. We got 3 hours, so don't worry.
No, I can give you one.
What is it?
They sometimes move the ball well between the 20s.
So that's not what Anthony said, and I agree with what you're saying, though. Like, they do move the ball well in between the 20s. They've actually been good in the red zone this year as well. My biggest compliment that I can give to Cliff's offense, Ben, is that it's quarterback friendly. Because when you've seen Marcus Mariota enter the fold over this year and last year, he's been able to have, you know, a really decent amount of success. Other than that, what good things could you possibly have to say about this Cliff Kingsbury offense? It does not adapt. It's not very creative this time around. And as we roll throughout the show, I'll give you some numbers that'll make your jaw drop. And maybe this isn't a Cliff Kingsbury thing. Maybe this is a Dan Quinn thing. Washington last year, it felt like, was one of the more disciplined teams in the National Football League. How many times this year offensively have we seen the drive-killing penalties? How many times this year offensively, defensively rather, have we seen personal fouls and things of that nature? On both sides of the ball, defense, offense, Washington is not playing with great detail. And that, to me, is the biggest frustration that I've had here in 2025. Just getting rolling, though, here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. Alongside Ben Strober, we'll take you up to 9 o'clock. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by our pal Michael Phillips of 910 The Fan AM in Richmond. We'll get his thoughts on Washington and what type of chance they have to go across the pond this weekend and upset the Dolphins. Yes, it would be an upset. Miami, 2.5-point favorites heading into this one. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you hear from the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury. And I'll give you some numbers on this Commanders offense that'll probably make you vomit. That is next there on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe.
That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Just getting rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Noah Willingham, alongside Ben Strober. We'll take you up the 9 o'clock in the 7 o'clock hour about Michael Phillips of the Richmonder, as well as 910 The Fan AM in Richmond. Going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on Washington's chances to go across the pond and beat the Miami Dolphins. Something that we'll chew on a little bit later on in the show. What would your reaction be to a fifth straight loss by 21 or more points? You tweet at me with that as well. It is at NELL_BTP. What I want you to line up on the phones for right now at 1-800-636-1067. What would be the grade that you give offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury through 10 weeks here in year number two here in the nation's capital? And then the second part of that question, do you want him to return next year as this team's offensive coordinator? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Because I will be very honest with you, and we kind of touched on this in the opening segment of the show. I am at a point right now with Cliff where, if I'm being real, I understand the limitations and the shortcomings and how difficult it is, quite frankly, to call plays, to put a game plan together, to put a script together week in and week out when you're missing your top dogs. I don't care what offenses that we're talking about in this league. We all watched it last year throughout the course of 17 to 19 games. Jaden Daniels, argue with somebody you love, not me. He is a massive difference and a massive difference maker for this Commanders football team. And I'll be real with you, right? I have flip-flopped back and forth with this because y'all know I wear it on my sleeve. I'm an emotional cat when it comes to the burgundy and gold. If we talk about these injuries, right, is it an excuse or is it the reason why this season has gone the way that it's gone? The 3-7 right now. You've lost, what, 5 in a row, 4 in a row by 21 or more points. Is that a byproduct of the injuries or are they just not playing well? I think it's a little bit of both. And when I look at this offense in particular, they've always been the side of the football to me that's had the most pressure on them. And for good reason. When we had conversations back in the summer about why Washington had a chance to replicate last year's success, those conversations started and finished with this group being a top 5 to 10 offense in the National Football League. They have simply not been that throughout 10 weeks here. They just haven't. In every statistical category, they are significantly worse than what they were a year ago. Yards per game, 18th right now in the National Football League. In terms of points per game, you're 22nd in the National Football League. So I feel like right now, if you're Washington, this offense has not done its job to its full ability. And a big part of that, I think we would say, is that Jaden has been in and out of the lineup. You take any top quarterback in the NFL, you take Mahomes off of Kansas City, you take Josh Allen off of the Bills, you take Lamar out of Baltimore, and we got to see that in real time this year. They're just not going to have the same efficiency on that side of the football. I think that is what Washington is dealing with right now. But my thing is this. It is the offensive coordinator's job, by hook or by crook, through hell or high water, to deal with the set of circumstances that you've been dealt. Point blank. It's on you, Cliff. Nobody gives a damn that Jaden's been in and out of the lineup. No one cares that, you know, Terry has been in and out of the lineup. It is your job as an offensive coordinator, no matter what, you know, injury situation you're dealing with, you must put your offense in the best position possible to succeed. And if I'm being real, they simply have not done that enough this year. 1-800-636-1067. Give me a grade for the job that Cliff Kingsbury has done through 10 weeks of football. Plus, the second part of the question is this. Do you want him to return next year as this team's offensive coordinator? 1-800-636-1067. I'll be real with you, right? Like I said, to open up the show. I'm not trying to cop out for Cliff. I ain't trying to make no excuses. But like I just said a moment ago, when you're trying to call plays, when you're trying to construct a game plan, and you're without your top quarterback, you're without two of your three top weapons, and I think, and I'm running around a little bit here, we don't talk about, in my opinion, enough about the impact of losing Austin Ekeler. That was your best run after the catch guy last year. Point blank. That was your best run after the catch guy last year. But I will say this, right? I'm not trying to make excuses for Cliff. I'm just trying to keep it real. Here is Cliff Kingsbury talking yesterday about just how difficult it's been with all the injuries.
Cliff, there's a pretty cool story with Burks coming back and you guys finding a role for him, then he gets hurt. How difficult, the receiver position's obviously been up and down all year, but then when you think you're starting to develop somebody, he goes down. How difficult has all of that been?
Yeah, it's been a challenge, there's no doubt, especially when you have a guy like Trey who had worked really hard to rehab from an injury, to get his opportunity, make some plays, and kind of develop with us, to have a setback. But he'll be back, and just allows other guys to get a chance. And so far, like I said, guys have stepped up when called upon. We just have to be more consistent as a complete offense to make the plays when they count.
Point blank, and I think the biggest issue outside of injuries that is plaguing Washington right now offensively, they're not a group that's playing with a lot of detail. They're just not. They're not a group that is playing with a lot of detail. And their inability to possess the football, their inability to sustain drives due to self-inflicted wounds, I mean, it's gut-wrenching to watch. Honestly, it is a gut punch when you're moving the football and then all of a sudden it's a false start penalty. And now instead of being in 2nd and 5, you're in 2nd and 15. You know what I'm saying? Like, their inability to stay on schedule has been tough. And when you go back and really, you know, dive deep into the numbers, you'll see it. This group this year compared to last year, you were 7th in the NFL in time of possession a season ago. You are 28th this year. Why? This offense has not been able to sustain drives. And I think it has a lot to do with Cliff. I think it has a lot to do with the lack of execution. But at the end of the day, I think this is a team-wide problem. Because you see the same execution issues on defense. This team has not played with good detail. But we're talking about the offensive coordinator right now. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We're putting Cliff Kingsbury under the microscope. What would be your grade for Cliff through 10 weeks? And then the second part of this is juicy. Do you want him back next year as this team's offensive coordinator? 1-800-636-1067. I gave you my grade. It is a C. I will answer the question on the other side of the break, plus take your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time,
I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, it's been interesting. There's no doubt, and I think it started in the spring, just trying to figure out who was going to be up, who was going to be playing, who was healthy, and so as coaches, our job is to maximize who we have and try to score points and win games the best way we can. And so as a staff, it's been a unique experience, but I think every year you learn more and more about yourself as a coach, your team, and kind of how you want to do things. And we're just kind of going through that this year.
So the offensive coordinator of your Washington Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury, speaking to the media yesterday live out in Madrid as the Commanders and Dolphins going to lock horns Sunday morning. The NFL's first time over in Madrid, Spain. Sucks that they get to see 2-3-7 teams, but a lot of storylines going into this one. We all know the numbers. Washington has lost 4 consecutive games by 21 or more points. First time since the 2002-03 Arizona Cardinals, so not in good territory right now, the Washington Commanders. The big question that I have for you right now at 1-800-636-1067. Cliff Kingsbury and this Commanders offense clearly have taken a step back from what they were last year. Injuries a part of the equation. Lack of execution a part of the equation. Give me a grade for Cliff Kingsbury 10 weeks into the season. And then the second part of this is interesting. Do you want him to return next year as this team's offensive coordinator? 1-800-636-1067. I got Bo is out in Haymarket wanting to chime in. What's up, Bo?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Hey, so listen, I'm a Cardinals fan.
Unique
Arizona.
Perspective. Unique perspective.
Yeah. So I do have perspective on Cliff. While I didn't really care for him as a head coach, I think he is a great offensive coordinator for you guys. Unfortunately, due to injuries, your offense has been decimated, right? So it's. I guess if I had to give him a grade, I would be in line with you, but I don't know if it's fair to give him a grade, right? Like he can only do what he can do with what he has. I would definitely have him back next year just to at least, verify that he is that great offensive coordinator with a healthy offense. So that's kind of where I'm at. I wish you guys the best of luck. My team's kind of in.
Well, can I ask you something real quick? Can I ask you something real quick, Bo? Cause I don't just follow the Commanders. I follow the National Football League. What's your take on your quarterback, brother? Like, are you out on the $200 million crybaby?
So listen, I'm gonna be straight with you.
Okay.
I wish he would have chosen baseball.
Wow.
I never liked him. I never liked him from the draft, and I haven't liked him since. I think he has talent, but it ain't at quarterback.
Yeah.
So I'm just waiting for the next draft. Hopefully, we get a quarterback. I don't know what's gonna happen this season with him.
We suffer from scoring lover syndrome here in the nation's capital is what I call it because we just can't get right. Dude, the last two stabs that you guys have taken at a quarterback in the draft was Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray. How do you trust it?
Hey, listen.
How do you trust it?
It starts at ownership, man.
Yes.
I hate our ownership, dude.
Like,
we haven't been a competitive team since Kurt Warner. And, I hate that Larry Fitzgerald didn't get a chance to win a Super Bowl because that dude is amazing in my book. He's an amazing human being and one of the best damn wide receivers ever. So that's sad. But, you know, I keep on keeping on just like you guys.
You're
do
a real fan, Bo. I love it. Appreciate you as always, man. Enjoy the weekend. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. What we're asking right now is this. Give me a grade for offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury through 10 weeks here in year number two. And then the second part of this is interesting. Do you want Cliff Kingsbury back next year as this team's offensive coordinator? 1-800-636-1067. Ed is in D.C. wants to tap in. What's up, Ed?
Yes, sir. I'm giving them a D like dog. I'm disappointed, especially, you know, given the season that we had last year. But even with that season, there were highs and lows and, you know, points where – they had to, well, I don't know who told him, but he had to switch up his game plan, you know, and I feel like this season is kind of going in that same direction. You're not switching up your game plan. I think the no huddle offense has been great, but they don't go back to it. You don't run the ball enough. I mean, as far as seeing them back next season, you got to make some choices. I do like him when, you know, the different schemes and everything, but at this point, I can see. I mean, I played a little football, but nothing close to being a pro. But I can see the bubble screen with Debo coming. I mean, of course, the other defense can. Come on, do something different.
Ed, I appreciate you as always. So here's what I would say about whether or not I want Cliff back next year as the OC. I think I do want him back, but I need a personality change for Cliff. I need this team to be a little less finesse, a little more punch you in your damn face. Point blank. And it's crazy because this is the time to do it. And look, maybe we see it Sunday in Madrid. Maybe Sunday in Madrid, our desires, our questions rather, get answered. Because I don't, for the life of me, if you're having this much attrition at wide receiver, you've got two highly paid tight ends relative to the market in Zach Ertz and John Bates. For a blocking tight end, John Bates, one of the highest paid in the NFL. Zach Ertz, you paid decent money to return, and then you drafted Ben Sinnott in the second round. Why not go more 12 and 13 personnel and use your tight ends to your advantage here? His inability to adapt to the injuries has really been disheartening for me.
Ain't this what we signed up for, though?
The Cliff experience?
Yeah.
Kinda.
Like, at the end of the day, I think he kinda is who we thought he would be.
Yeah.
And he's solid. He's done some real good things for us. Like, you can't deny last year how creative they were offensively, how great they were with a rookie quarterback, and Jane's obviously so talented. But this is part of the experience. You're going to have these implications here, like not running the football enough. It's kind of what we signed up for, and if you're looking to do something different, then maybe you have to move on. But I don't know if that's not my decision to make, obviously.
I think it's interesting, that perspective, Ben. You're getting what you signed up for, straight up. And I think, to that point, I think last year, when you aren't battered and hampered by injury as much as you are, you get the prime version of Cliff Kingsbury. I think my number one gripe for him this year is the inability to adjust. And for me, that means going under center more. For me, that means being more smash mouth on the offensive side of the football. But Ben, the run game to me this year just isn't the same. We're not seeing the GT counters. We're not seeing, you know, the pony formation with the multi-backs in the backfield like we saw last year. It just looks different from a run game standpoint.
The LA game, it's like we had a personality disorder because I've never seen them play like that.
Yeah.
In terms of how dominant they were running the football, how committed they were to running the football game with Bill.
Because it wasn't even hitting at first.
Yeah.
So
second half, it exploded.
Yeah, and he has, you know, answered plenty of questions this season about, you know, his inability to stick to the run game. I want to continue to hear from you, though. 1-800-636-1067. Give me a grade for offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury through 10 weeks of play, and then are you bringing him back next year as this team's offensive coordinator? Our guy Captain Todd is out in Florida wanting to chime in. What's going on, Captain?
Hey, what's up, Nell? Shout out to Ben, man. I called in this morning.
Yeah.
And Ben turned my call.
And he's still here.
He's still grinding.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, hey, Captain Todd. Hey,
look,
like 9 a.m.
Look, man, he's cut from the cloth of the youngest in charge. You know, I had my days of doing it too. It's how you come up in the industry.
I like it, man. I need some more guys like him on my boat.
Yes, indeed. What do you got, though, for us, buddy?
I'm going to give Cliff a C-. You know, without Jaden and Terry, it's hard. You got to throw half your playbook out the window, you know, so I'm going to give him a little bit. If this offense looked the same with Jaden and Terry, he'd be getting a D.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? And as far as if I want him back next year, honestly, I hope we don't have to make that decision. I hope he gets a job.
Huh, okay.
I want to see, kind of like you were saying, punch him in the mouth. I'd like to see a pro style under center, maybe get a fullback out there or line Bates up at fullback, power running, punch you in the mouth type of offense.
Oh, man. You're making me sweat, Captain Todd. Good gracious.
Speaking of sweating, one thing real quick.
Yes.
I need Odyssey to send a camera crew to follow the rooster around the broad, man.
Look, man, I was sitting there for him earlier. I was talking about it. I was like, man, is he going to make it to the stadium by kickoff time? He struggles getting to Landover from Virginia. I mean, you think he's going to be able to make it to Madrid, Spain in time? You know he stopped in Barcelona first.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's no chance. He's going to be trying to explain to security why he has 2 pounds of ground beef in his sack.
That's a hell of a call. Captain Todd, appreciate you as always, man. Enjoy the weekend. 1-800-636-1067. On the other side of the break, I want to get into something that Captain Todd brought up. Washington's inability or unwillingness, rather, to play under center. I got some numbers for you on the other side of the break. But first, let's get to our guy Gary in D.C. who wants to chime in. Gary, give me a grade for Cliff Kingsbury through 10 weeks, and then are you bringing him back or not? Gary going once?
Hello.
What's up, Gary?
What's going on, Anil? Happy birthday, for one.
Appreciate you, my man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm giving Cliff Kingsbury an A, man. The reason why is he was walking on rose petals last year.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything going on the way it is, and we're a tier two team now, where we was coming from a tier three, I think a lot of us are suffering from PTSD from the last years.
Yeah.
And we don't have the patience. I mean, the Eagles built theirs in 3 seasons, 3 drafts, 4 drafts, and I think we have to do the same. But I think that my organization has established a culture now, and we're moving forward into the next tier, and the competition is getting a little stiff. So the injuries are plaguing us a little bit, but I think if we hold on, Cliff Kingsbury will be the guy that we need.
I think that's a very unique perspective, Gary, and I appreciate the call. So I agree. Like, this is why this conversation is hard for me and why I haven't answered the question yet of do I want to bring him back. I think I did answer. I do want to bring him back, like I said, but I need to bring him back with like a set of circumstances, like some, what do they call it, a prerequisite, right? I'll bring you back, but... And honestly, they're not firing Cliff. So let's just be honest. If he does not come back, it's because he got a job somewhere else. I just wonder, part of why I don't want him to leave is like, I don't want Jaden to learn another system, for one. And I think Cliff, their relationship, first of all, I think it's a super quarterback-friendly offense, like I mentioned. But their relationship, I continue to believe, is tremendous, and it's a big reason why Jaden was able to have the success he had last year.
You know, I agree with you about, you know, canning the guy, I feel like, would be kind of malpractice with having the quarterback who's so young and needs the reps right now, obviously, to learn a new system. Because now that I look what happened in Houston, Texas, Bobby Slowick kind of got thrown under the bus for the whole thing, and CJ Stroud still doesn't look very good.
No.
So was he really the problem?
It's interesting. I think they have some foundational organizational issues out there
for sure.
Houston. Houston, we do have a problem. I got a problem. Washington isn't under center enough. On the other side of the break, we'll continue to take your calls. Plus, Cliff Kingsbury will explain to us why they're not under center more. That's next here on The Fan. One 800 636 1067 is the number. Here on a Friday night edition of Overtime, you're tapped in. The youngest in Charles and O. Willingham alongside Ben Strober taking you up to 9 o'clock. Michael Phillips, 910 The Fan AM in Richmond, going to join us bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on Commanders and Dolphins, out in Spain. I'll also talk a little bit of Wizards before we get out of here as well. As the D.C. family back at practice this morning. Got to sleep in their own beds here tonight, last night. So excited to talk about them. They're back in action Sunday, taking on the Brooklyn Nets. That'll be in the 8 o'clock hour. What we're chewing on right now is this. I want your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Grade Cliff Kingsbury, 10 weeks into his second year as the offensive coordinator here in the nation's capital. He's dealt with a bunch of injuries. Quarterback's been in and out of the lineup. I think from an execution standpoint, it just has not been there when you think about the penalties, when you think about the wide receivers not playing with great detail. The other thing that I feel like Cliff has struggled with this year is not adapting to the personnel situation that he's dealing with. I think Ben hit it right on the head, or the last caller rather hit it right on the head. Last year was peaches and roses, walking on rose petals, is I think the way Gary put it. And you're right. He was dealt a perfect set of circumstances. Didn't have to deal with much adversity as a play caller, and I think we've let you hear him talk about it, you know, a couple times throughout the show. When guys are in and out of the lineup, it makes your job that much more difficult. And I think right now for Cliff, this is a scenario where, yeah, you got to earn it, brother. You got to show me that, you know, you're worth, you know, the ground that you stand on, so to speak, right? In life, too, man. I don't judge a person until I see how they deal with adversity. And I think that's fair for an offensive football coach as well. But I do need a little bit more of a personality change for this group. They don't go under center a lot. As a matter of fact, they barely go under center. Washington goes under center at a 7% clip. That is 31st in the National Football League. And here's my thing. There is such a stark contrast between the teams that go under center and the teams that don't. The bottom five teams in the NFL in terms of going under center, 28, the New Orleans Saints at 18%. The Bengals, 29th at 15%. Kansas City, 11%. Not going to them, but you get the point here. And then Atlanta, dead last at 6%. Washington, 7% at number 31. So clearly, right, those teams outside of Kansas City, and they're a game above 500, so it's not like they're crushing the world right now. Those teams have not had success this year offensively. Atlanta's super inconsistent. New Orleans stinks. Cincinnati's dealing with a quarterback problem, but even when Burrow is there, they don't go under center. Can I give you the top five teams that go under center the most? Huh. It just so happens to be, you know, five of the top most efficient offenses in football. Seattle, number one at 70%. The LA Rams, number two, 69%. The Lions, number three, 52%. The Bills, number four at 51%. And then the Patriots, who we saw last night, at 47%. Meaning, there is a direct correlation in terms of offensive success and how much you go under center. You cannot deny this. But Cliff Kingsbury did yesterday across the pond in Spain.
All right, Cliff, this is a philosophical question. So there's a lot of, I guess, discussion about under center, pistol, shotgun. You guys are so much pistol shotgun. What's the philosophy for you behind why you like to go that direction, that heavy with pistol shotgun as opposed to maybe a little bit more under center?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of different things that come into play. But I think with Jaden starting off, comfort level more than anything. You know, we want to tailor the offense to what he is used to, comfortable with, and does the best. But you've seen certain teams have a lot of success under center. A lot of teams have had success in shotgun. So I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think it's, you know, playing to your personnel and maximizing what you want to do offensively.
Well, the numbers would say otherwise. There clearly is a right and a wrong. And the wrong way is not going under center. The right way is going under center. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Give me a grade for the offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, and then tell me whether or not you want him back next year. Hans is in Vienna. What's going on, Hans?
Hello, Linnell.
What's up, brother? How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I love listening to you as much as anybody else on the radio, except for Grant and Danny.
I appreciate
you, man. You're right up there. I really love listening to you. Now, I think the last caller who said that Cliff doesn't make adjustments, mm-hmm. hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
And I'll just go further. He's a genius when everything's set up just right for him.
Yep.
And I'm not just talking about adjusting to injuries. I think it's also about adjusting to the opponents, because I think even before the injuries hit, a lot of teams seem to have figured out a lot of what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I'll just give you an example. I think there's very little deception when they're handing off the ball, or
and Hans, not to cut you off, Hans. That's such a stark contrast from last year, right? Where there was all the window dressing and the ball fakes and so on and so forth. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and I think part of it's due to the injuries, because you know they don't have a lot of practice time together, and they're forced to use new formations and new personnel. So a little bit of that seems to be due to injuries, but. Then they just got to keep practicing on it. And, but I think there was a little bit of complacency in the sense that, our stuff works and the other teams won't be able to handle it, but they're handling it. So yeah. That's what I see.
I think it's well put by you, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. 1-800-636-1067. It's my number one thing here. And I'll take it a step further, right? And this has been really a team-wide issue, if I'm being, open, honest, and transparent about it. A couple of numbers here for you. One, before I even get into the numbers, the execution offensively. When you think about the Dallas game in particular, when Jaden was in there, you think about him one-hopping a ball to Jalen Lane. Why? Not because Jaden just one-hopped it. Jalen Lane didn't hit his landmark. Why? Because Jalen Lane is not getting a whole bunch of reps and playing with great detail. Why? Because Jalen Lane's a rookie. Robbie Chosen, he throws a comeback to him and he throws it out of bounds, not because Jaden's inaccurate, but because he's expecting Chosen to be at a certain landmark and he's not. Why? Because they just called him up off the practice squad. So those execution issues, they got to fall back on coaching to me. Do what we're coaching you to do or we'll get somebody else to do it.
The Lane thing, I think, is a little more frustrating, especially mm-hmm. than the others. Robbie Chosen, Treylon Burks, you can kind of throw it out the window. They've had no time on task. Those guys, Jalen Lane was getting first-team reps offensively this summer.
In camp! Ben, you're literally speaking the tune that
I've been... So they should not have been having those issues.
It's inexcusable, some of the issues that we're seeing right now offensively. And that's why, to me, this idea of, Jaden's not getting the reps with these dudes. My ass. My arse. The first team offense in camp was Chris Moore, Deebo Samuel, and Luke McCaffrey. And then Jalen Lane was the next guy off the bench. He's worked with these guys all summer, so their lack of continuity just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think it puts the wide receivers coach under the microscope, and I'm totally blanking on his name right now.
I was out of training camp practice as a fan where Jalen Lane was killing it.
Dude. It hadn't translated yet.
I thought he was going to be a stud this year.
Yeah.
I really did.
I'm embarrassed that I'm... Bobby Engram.
There you go.
Damn it, I knew that. And Bobby Engram's been around the block before, man. He's been... It's his third year with the Commanders. This is a holdover from last year.
He predates Teron.
Yeah, so I think he gets canned at season's end.
That's actually... So did Bieniemy bring him in then?
I'm not sure.
He might have.
Maybe. I think he gets canned at season's end.
I need to get away from the Eric Bieniemy business if that's the case.
His team just hasn't played, his group rather, just hasn't played with enough detail on the season. They're constantly making mistakes, and it is it's a little bit frustrating. Now, I told you all I had some numbers on this Washington Commanders offense that will make you vomit. I will get to those numbers coming up momentarily. I want to continue to take your calls, though. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Remember, you can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Give me a grade for the offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, and then tell me this. You bringing him back next year or what? 1-800-636-1067. Mervin wants to check in. What's going on, Merv?
All right. I don't think we should bring Cliff back. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Why is that?
He don't make no adjustments whatsoever. Yeah. And plus, we don't have the threat. If you don't have the threat on the field because of injuries and all that type of stuff, and the adjustments is the biggest thing. He's pass happy, you know what I'm saying? And the biggest thing you look at, he's kind of cocky. So
you think he's arrogant?
Yes. Very cocky.
Why do you think that?
What do you mean? I'm just talking about he got that attitude and the moxie and all that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, he got to adjust to the team. You know what I'm saying? We got so much injuries out there and he don't, put like what you said, the tight ends. You got, Bates, you know, Ertz.
Yeah.
And Cynic. I'm sorry.
Cynic. No, you're right. You're talking about Cynic. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Right. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we don't have no deep threat. You know,
but is that players, a Cliff? But is that a Cliff problem or is that an AP problem? Or are you saying, Merv, that hey?
Well, I'm just saying it still boils down to
you
got to
adjust to it, right? I hear and that.
And he doesn't adjust. But at the end of the day, the players play the game. You know what I'm saying? And we can't do. We can do better, but he does not adjust to the other defense. Like for example, when we saw Green Bay, mm-hmm. Green Bay figured him out. You know what I'm saying?
I will say this. Instantly. I will say this, Mervin, and maybe this is just a shortcoming of Cliff Kingsbury. Remember last year, our Thursday night game that we played against Philly, how bad the offense looked? Maybe he's just not good at preparing on a short week. I think that might be part of the problem as well. I appreciate the call as always. 1-800-636-1067. Coming up at about 7:45, our pal Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Excuse me, the Richmonder now, and then 9:10 the Fan AM in Richmond. He is going to join us. We get his thoughts on Commanders and Dolphins out in Spain. When we come back, I promise you those numbers, I'll give it to you. A couple of offensive numbers for the Commanders that'll make you vomit next. Michael Phillips, 9:10 a.m., the Fan in Richmond. Get ready to grace us with his presence coming up here momentarily. I told you I had some numbers for you on the Commanders that may make you vomit. I'll start with the team number first. The Commanders are the 10th most penalized team in the National Football League this year. And we've seen it on offense. We've seen it on defense. On offense by way of the drive-killing penalties. On defense by way of the personal fouls and the pass interferences. And on Sunday, the unsportsmanlike conducts that we saw from Payne and Kinlaw. One of the callers called in and spoke about culture. I ain't going to say the culture's bad, but I ain't going to sit here and rave about it either. 1-800-636-1067. They're the 10th most penalized team in the NFL. They're the 4th most penalized offense in the NFL. And it feels like it when you watch week in and week out, there is some sort of drive-killing penalty for the Washington Commanders. And that's where I give Cliff Kingsbury a little bit of a pass. Like, if Zach Ertz, week in and week out, is jumping off sides, false starting, Josh Connerly, if we're continuously seeing these things, is that a Cliff Kingsbury problem? I don't know if it's fair to say that. 1-800-636-1067. Give me a grade for Cliff Kingsbury through 10 weeks. And then are you bringing him back next year? 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL underscore BTP. Rich is out in PG County. What's going on, Rich?
What's going on? Love the show.
Appreciate you, man.
I'm not bringing Kingsbury back or the offensive line coach.
Wow.
If you look at it, the offensive line coach, I don't think people remember. He got fired in New York, and New York had a horrible offensive line when he was there. Our offensive line and our running back room are the healthiest units that we got on the team right now. And with Cosby coming back, there's no way that we should not be running the ball effectively and running the ball down people's throats, especially with Bates is one of the best blocking tight ends in the Senate should be used how Chris Cooley was being used, so it's no imagination. With Kingsbury, if I see Deebo Samuel and get a jet sweep one more time, it's too predictable. So I don't.
You know
think
why
Kingsbury
it's predictable? You know what's crazy, Rich? Remember when they ran the jet sweep under center against Cincinnati and it went for 14 yards to start? It's predictable because they're in shotgun all the damn time. I agree with most of what you're saying, and I think you hit it right on. I think you hit it right on the head, Rich. For the O-line room and the running back room to be as healthy as they are. And for us not to lean into it more, it definitely makes you scratch your head.
And if McDaniels get fired from Miami, I actually got him being our next offense coordinator. DQ is comfortable working with coaches that he's worked with.
Could you imagine Mike McDaniel and Jaden Daniels together? Good Lord.
That'd be nasty. But, yeah, Kingsbury, he got to go.
Give me a grade for him, Rich.
A C plus. I get because I will take injuries into consideration.
Right,
but he makes no adjustments. And with the wide receivers that we have, or the lack of wide receivers, there's no way that we should be in the shotgun and just force throwing the ball as much as we do when we got McNichols just running people over. Rodriguez is actually a horse if he actually get more opportunities to run the ball.
I totally agree.
But it's no imagination. So, yeah, he got to go.
Appreciate the call as always, Rich. 1-800-636-1067. It's tough for me because I don't know if I'm willing to go as far as saying I'm going to replace him. I don't know if I'm willing to go that far with it, but I do understand everyone's criticisms. There isn't enough creativity. One thing that Rich said, and I was blanking on it at first, but it just came to my mind. Cliff Kingsbury is not in charge of designing the run game. That is a Anthony Lynn and Bobby Johnson thing. Like, those two are more instrumental. Cliff obviously has a hand in it, but maybe those two. Have those two regressed at all in any way? Because I will say this, their lack of creativity in a run game this year compared to how multiple and diverse they were last year, it's night and day. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Michael Phillips, 910 The Fan AM in Richmond. You're going to join us coming up here momentarily. But first, Steven in Fredericksburg wants to chime in. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, so I'm not a Commanders fan, but I'm a longtime listener, and I got to say, just hearing some of the thoughts out there, personally, I would give Cliff a B+ or an A-. I think some of the things you brought up that are valid over the last half an hour, Cliff can't control the fumbles that McNichols had, that Daniels had, and awareness, and Dan Quinn has got to have some control about supporting the decisions like Daniels staying in that last game and getting hurt. And putting Cliff in position to execute at the highest level. I personally think that some of the other injuries that have happened throughout the season, Debo is banged up. It has a huge impact on the play calling.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I think it's an excellent point. I appreciate the call. We can do that. We'll take a couple calls coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back though, Michael Phillips, Richmond Times. I keep saying Richmond Times Dispatch. The Richmonder. In 910 The Fan AM in Richmond, he joins us next. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the always free Odyssey app. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge, and Noah Willingham, alongside Ben Strober, taking you up the 9 o'clock. I was thinking, I got a happy birthday text. It is my 28th birthday. I got a happy birthday text for my guy Chris Russell, and I got to thinking. I don't know if he's made it to Madrid yet. He said he was going to Barcelona first, but we do know he is out there. Knowing, and our next guest is going to understand exactly what I'm talking about with this, knowing Chris Russell the way we know Chris Russell, and knowing the troubles that he has getting into Northwest Stadium, I mean, over under for how much game action he misses on Sunday as the Commanders are in Madrid. Mike, what you think, man?
Here's the thing. Like, the rooster is always caught in traffic. He's always late. He's always frantic. Like, I would assume, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming he doesn't have a car in Madrid, surely, right?
Well,
like,
he's probably flying around. I mean,
I don't know if he's taking the subway or the train or Ubers or what, but, like, it does seem like a lot of his troubles in life are because he cannot find a way to drive between point A and point B without it taking several hours. Is it just him, or like, is he going to get in an Uber and the Uber driver is going to like pull out of the hotel and like right into bumper to bumper traffic? Be like, oh, come on, what's going on? Like, oh, sorry. Like,
a lot of varying factors.
Always happens to me.
A lot of varying factors is how I would put it. We're joined right now by our pal Michael Phillips of 910 The Fan in Richmond. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at Michael P in RVA, and then check out MP on the mic 10 to noon on 910 The Fan. Mike, I sent you a text, I believe it was last week. Sent the text out to a bunch of different people. I am certainly grateful for you being willing to participate. Didn't go anywhere. No names were attached to it. But I want to let you give your thoughts here right now, just as we take a 1,000-foot view at the Washington Commanders during this tough, tough 2025 campaign in which they're currently in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. Things are not good right now in the nation's capital. Looking at this thing from a bird's eye view, though, how close do you think they are to being a perennial playoff team in the NFC amongst the likes of the Rams and the Eagles and the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Jaden Daniels in this answer because I think he's the key to this answer. Well, now, like, if Jaden Daniels wasn't on the team last year, they don't make the playoffs. We all understand that, right? Like, he's the only reason they made the playoffs. And if they make the playoffs and then he doesn't play in the playoff games, they lose at least the Tampa game for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, they were flying in that Detroit game. That was a really good game. But, like, it is a different season without him. You know, it's either a first-round playoff exit, it's a not-make-the-playoffs. Like, our expectations are calibrated totally differently. Well, they haven't really had him this season. And so they are underachieving. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I'm sure we'll go into that. They are underachieving this season for what they have. But also, it's all about number five. And if he comes back healthy next year and you tell me he's going to play 14, 15 games next year, I'm going to tell you that this is a playoff team next year and a team that can do things because he's that good when he's at his best. And if they don't have him, it kind of exposes, you know, that those are great examples. Like you think about the Eagles, the Rams, organizations that have built not only solid cores, but solid backups. I think back to the NFC title game last year, the Eagles had what, their third string center in, I think, you know, they were deep at some of those O-line positions. It's a 1-53 roster there, and honestly, their practice squad's pretty good too. That's what hasn't been built here, and you're not going to see me judging them for not having built that. The cupboard was bare when they arrived, but Adam Peters has a long way to go to achieve that kind of institutional stability where maybe Jaden could go out for a little while and the team could still be good.
Yeah, I think, and I've gone back and forth on this, Mike, because you know how I get down. I wear it on my sleeve. I love this group as much as anybody does, but I'm also going to be brutally honest and sometimes overly critical of things just because that's the nature of being a fan. I had a conversation yesterday with Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area, and he really provided some perspective to me about, because the big thing that I continue to harp on here, MP, is like, hey, we wanted that handsome blue-eyed devil here in the nation's capital, not for his ability to trade, not for his ability to sign free agents, Mike, but for his ability to hit on draft picks and to really build the core of this roster through the draft. Through two off seasons, I mean, the draft picks have not had very much impact, but they are playing a lot relative to the dudes that were selected in their class. If Washington can walk away from their first two drafts with their franchise quarterback in Jaden Daniels and then their starting right tackle, left tackle of the future in Josh Connerly, I think you got to give Adam Peters a passing grade. I have a hard time coming to grips with the fact that you can't hit a home run on every draft pick, but they at least need to all be, hopefully, fingers crossed, foundational pieces moving forward.
Yeah, and wait, Luke McCaffrey took a step forward before he was injured. That was great to see. Ben Sinnott still hasn't taken that big leap forward that we're hoping for. I think tight end remains a need as soon as Zach Ertz decides to hang him up, which could come as soon as this offseason. To your point, and I agree with you, you got to find a way to get this guy some more picks. Yeah. And that's easier said than done. Like, what does Philly have? Like, 8 picks and they're going to get some compensatory
it's
picks
crazy,
when it's all
man.
Said and done? It, right? Like, they don't have to hit on all of them when you have that many picks.
Right.
These guys don't have a second rounder this upcoming year. They don't have a fourth rounder this upcoming year. And I'm not mad about those deals. I think it was really important to get Jaden a great left tackle. You know, protection is really important. I think it was really important to bring Debo in. He's a weapon, man. He was fun to watch in those early weeks when things were flying. I think it was worth the gamble on Lattimore because the defense was so bad and you sense this could be something special. It didn't pan out, and it won't pan out. I'm not mad about any of those trades individually, right? This is a little bit of sports talk radio right here. Like, I'm mad they don't have more picks, but also I wouldn't undo any of those things.
Right.
It's just like, it's tough because, yeah, they have so many needs. You have a general manager who's great at drafting, and also he doesn't have all his draft picks, which kind of stinks.
Right. Mike, so let me ask you this. This is something I was like, when you know you have limited picks, should you be leaning more towards players that you think can come in and contribute right away? And I'm not saying contribute as an immediate starter, but at least be a backup. And I'm pointing at Kane Madrano right now.
Yeah.
I think it is totally unacceptable that he has not been able to be active. He hasn't played a defensive snap yet this year. And Washington's linebacker play, and don't let Bobby Wagner being second in the NFL in tackles fool you, Washington's gotten some of the worst linebacker play in the NFL this year. Frankie Louvu's doing his own thing, never in his gap, trying to play hero ball. Bobby Wagner doesn't have the foot speed. You drafted Medrano for a reason. Do you see what I mean with that? Like, that to me has got to be the standard here, that all of our draft picks are going to be active at least.
I am concerned that he has not been able to win snaps in this room. Yes, I think that's good context. Like, some teams, you got to wait your turn. You got to take your number, wait until your number's called. This team has snaps available. Like, yeah. if they thought he were good, they would put him in. And hopefully they get to the point where they have to. This guy may just have to take his lumps on the field, and we see what he's got. Because it's, and Connerly is doing that to an extent as well. Like, Connerly took his lumps on the field. You got to just do that with the young guys. And, you hit on Bill in the late rounds. I know he's cooled off a little, but that's indisputably a hit there in the late rounds.
Right.
I don't mind a gamble, but, yeah, when you have so many needs, you're going to have positions like where you say every guy you bring in has the opportunity to contribute. And I'd throw on top of that, you mentioned needing guys to be contributors. James, when we do the offseason thing, we'll talk on the offseason. James is only going to have two more years on this rookie contract. I know this is a fifth-year option, but that gets expensive.
Mike, you get ready. You're getting ready to open Pandora's box with me. Go ahead, because I got a follow-up for that.
You got two more years on that rookie contract. Teams that win the Super Bowl either have a transcendent quarterback or a rookie contract quarterback. And Jaden might be a transcendent quarterback. We might have a 15-year window.
Right.
But what we know for sure is that the window's wide open for those next 2 years. So, yeah, that adds to that urgency.
Real quick, and I know this is a long ways away, but you triggered a thought in my brain. I'm of the belief, if he does not play 16 games next year, I'm not going to the negotiating table with him.
Well, you can give him you got the fifth-year option, so that's nice. You can tag that on. Do you see where I'm coming from
with that? If there are real durability concerns with him, and I'm not – look, this is why I always got to preface with, because the fans think I'm just some arrogant, jerk that doesn't like the team. I love the team, but, the kid hasn't been able to stay healthy yet to this point. Why would you commit – we're talking potentially $70 million annually to a cat that has not shown the ability to stay healthy. I think that's got to be a factor in the negotiations at the end of next year when they come to the table.
I'd be very curious. By all accounts, I think he could potentially return this year, and sounds like, DQ's not going to talk about that until after they get back from their post-Spain vacation here. But, I would love for him to play down the stretch.
Me too.
Because I think he's still got some stuff to work through outside of durability as well, that I think he'd be very, very well served to play football and work that out. The sack rate has gone down since Marcus Mariota took over. That's not everything, but I think he's still got some refining to do this season. Yeah, we're a long ways away. I love that you're willing to go there. I'm not willing to go there yet. My chips are still in on number five.
Mine are too. Don't mistake.
But I agree with you that in a hypothetical where next year there's a major cost, a lot of time injury, we're going to have a serious discussion.
Yes, we are. How do they get off the schneid this weekend against Miami, Mike? Let me ask you this. We'll be asking this on the phones. What would be your reaction to a fifth consecutive loss by 21 or more points?
Well, let's check out the circumstances too, because Dan Quinn, after the game Sunday, was really resigned. Like his post game press conference, and you heard him talking about after the bye, we're going to reevaluate everything and we're going to figure out what we're doing. And I think he understands, and we understood, you don't fire the defensive coordinator and then get on a plane to Spain an hour later. That's too many things. This has been scripted out in advance. But then on Monday, he does make the move of putting Witt on double secret probation, of naming himself the defensive coordinator, of shaking things up. And I think it's this gamble of, I don't want to lay off my friend, but that's my guy.
Yeah,
I'm going to do this now. We're going to win Sunday. And when we win Sunday, it's going to turn down the temperature in the room, and I'm not going to have to do anything during the bye week, and we can make it to the end of the season, which is all well and good. But you got to win on Sunday. Think about the Nats this season, right? They call the players only meeting. Everybody huddles. We're going to get this thing together. We're going to do it right. And you always schedule that strategically, right? Mm-hmm. You schedule before the Miami Marlins are coming to town. You can beat the Miami. And then what happened? They lost that series,
right? They go on the losing streak. Well, when you hit the panic button and then don't win, things get worse really, really fast. So when you hit the button, hey, we're going to make a change, I hear we're going to win this football game. And I don't know that that's a given, but I think there's a lot riding on it.
I believe it is, my friend. We'll get you an official prediction from you before you get out. Do you think they get off the schneid this weekend, Mike?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that this is – I think they're more than the sum of their parts right now. They just haven't found a way – I guess, you know, that's the phrase you use when they're playing well, like last year, right? What's the reverse of, like, the parts are more than the sum is right now? Like,
right.
You can't tell me that Mikey Sanders still is not a good football player. Yeah. I saw it with my own eyes right. For 17 games last year. He was really good. You can't tell me, that Laremy Tunsil is not a really good left tackle. He is. I've seen it. Brandon Coleman was a left tackle in this league. You can't tell me these guys aren't good, and yet here we are, and the sum is they're not playing together. The vibes are off, man. It's not working.
They got to figure it out. We'll all be watching 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time on the NFL Network coming up on Sunday. The NFL's first time in Madrid, Spain, features 2 3-7 teams, Miami and Washington, two programs seemingly going in opposite directions. Mike, I appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Now looking forward to it. Have a great weekend.
Always love catching up with my guy, Michael Phillips. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Breaking news, top of the 8 o'clock hour. We may have reached a settlement between ESPN and YouTube TV. I'll give you the details on that next as the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.